Hey everyone, welcome to the Tuya Christian Fellowship Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to give online, see upcoming events, or view our service times, please visit our website at tcf.church.
The reason I'm telling you that is because I just want you to be encouraged. Man, God's moving, God's reaching kids, God's reaching teenagers, God's doing incredible things, and I'm so thankful for your prayers, for your giving, for your volunteering, and God's doing amazing things in our midst, and I just want you to be encouraged, and I want to say publicly thank you for all that you do and for your giving and everything going on. We're taking the largest group of men to men's retreat we've ever taken. We rented the Edelweiss in Red River. We took the entire condominium, and we have filled it up. So I don't know what we'll do next year. Maybe we'll just rent the whole town. I don't know. I mean, you know, because I believe we'll take more. Amen? Amen. All right, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to jump in and show you what God has given me today. Father, I love you. Father, thank you for open hearts and for all that you're doing in our midst. Lord, as we look into your word, that we're strengthened and we're encouraged and refreshed. In Jesus' name, amen. Every morning, generally, I walk. And when I walk, I do it early in the morning, I pray. And as I walk and I pray, God and I have all kinds of conversations about all kinds of things. And over the last month or so, he ministered to me, the Holy Spirit, about three things that he wants you to be aware of, be on guard about, that can hinder God's work in your life, hinder God's word in your life. Now, this is not my entire message this morning, but I wanted to pass on these three things that the Holy Spirit gave me. Here's the first one. I'm talking about hindrances. The first one is ignorance. Now, I'm not saying you're ignorant. I'm talking about ignorance toward the word of God, ignorant toward the promises of God. Listen, in Hosea, it says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. All right? They perish for a lack of knowledge. Listen to this statement. The only gospel that impacts you is the gospel that you know. The only gospel that impacts you is the gospel that you know. See, the things you don't know can hurt you. When you don't know that you're a son, when you don't know what belongs to you, it's hard and difficult to walk in it. So you want to be aware of that. All right, the second one is just bad teaching. Now, what do you mean by bad teaching? Well, I had an old Bible school teacher who called it sacred cows. Now, what's a sacred cow? Well, that might be something you believe in your family, something you grew up, maybe your grandmother taught it to you, maybe her grandmother taught it to you, but through the years, you have things in your family, or it may be something you learned growing up in church. One of the things I always heard growing up was God helps those that help themselves. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it's not in the Bible, okay? Yeah, it's not in the Bible. And lots of times, you know, somebody will quote Benjamin Franklin to you, and they'll think it's in the Bible when it's not in the Bible. So, you know, right? So it's important that you go to God's Word. It's important that when you hear something that you say, hey, does that line up with what God's saying? Then the third one is simply unbelief, just unbelief. You've heard the truth, and you just decide not to believe it. Paul was preaching to the religious leaders in the book of Acts one time, and these were men who were in the synagogue, and he was preaching, and here's what he said to them. See, they rejected what he was saying, and he said, you've rejected the truth because you don't think you're worthy of eternal life. And Paul said they rejected the truth because of it. Another reason they chose not to believe in Jesus is they had worked their whole lives in the synagogue, and if they had believed in Jesus, they would have been put out of the synagogue. In a way, they would have lost their reputation, and they would have lost their jobs. So they chose unbelief. Listen to this statement. The only gospel that changes you is the gospel you believe. The only gospel that changes you is the gospel you believe. So I just want you to be aware this morning. Be aware of ignorance, be aware of bad teaching, and beware of unbelief. Because the enemy wants to use those things, the Bible says so, to steal the word of God away from you. And I don't want that to happen to you. Amen? All right, now I'm going to read to you this morning out of Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to start with verse 14. And I'm going to show you something that belongs to you. Now listen, as your pastor, if this is your church, if you're here this morning and you're not a visitor and this is your church home, I pray for you every single week. I pray regularly. I pray fervently. And here are two things that I pray. I pray that you would know who you are and you would know what belongs to you. You would know who you are. You would know what belongs to you. And I pray that over you all the time. Well, I want to take a few moments this morning in Ephesians, and I'm going to show you some things that belong to you, some things that God is doing in our lives, and who you are. So let me begin in Ephesians 3. I'm going to start with verse 14, and I'm reading out of the New King James Bible. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Stop right there. You and I are part of the family of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you and I are brothers and sisters, and we are in the family of God. And it says that the family of God is in two different places. There's a family right now in heaven, and there's a family here. You and I are here. How many of y'all have a loved one in heaven? Okay, yeah, I got all kinds of loved ones in heaven. And my father's been in heaven for 45 years. I'm 18 years old when he passed away, and I haven't seen him in 45 years. But the promise in the scripture is I will see him again, that he and I will be restored, and we will have a relationship together, and we will have a relationship for all of eternity. That encourages me. That gives me hope, and I want it to give you hope. When my father died, it really was hard on my mother. My mother lived many years after my father's death, but she never really got over my father's death. And it was just very difficult. It was very hard for her. So consequently, it was hard on my relationship with her. And the relationship I always wanted with her, the relationship I longed for with my mother, just never really happened. Now, I got good news. It's going to happen. Okay? My life and my relationship with my mother, when we get in the kingdom and we're all together, it's going to be restored. So the scripture I just read says right now we're in two different places, but the day's going to come that we're all going to be together, and for that to encourage you and to comfort you. Now let me read the next sentence. It says that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory. You know your daddy's rich, right? Now y'all are looking at me like you didn't know that, right? Let me say it again. You know your daddy's rich, right? Let me say it again. You know your daddy's rich, right? Okay, yeah, amen. Amen. You're a rich kid and you didn't even know it. Okay, yeah, you're a trust fund kid and you didn't even know it, right? Who's been lying to use the devil, amen? It says that he's rich. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, that the earth is his, okay? So he's able to take care of you and meet your needs, amen? All right, now let me read it again. Yeah, y'all don't sound too convinced, all right? That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man. Now, don't miss this. This is so good. Now, I know there's a lot here, but I'm going to break it down for you, and I want you to notice something. It says that God himself wants to strengthen you. That word strength in the original language means to empower. Okay, God wants to empower you in your spirit on the inside. Listen to it. Listen to what it says, that you would be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man. Listen, you know what Christianity is? Christianity is outside. Excuse me, I got it backwards. Christianity is inside out. It's not outside in. See, if Christianity is external pressure on you to do right or to live right or to do certain things, that's nothing but religion, okay? You are ultimately going to fail if you have outside pressure put on you to try to get you to do something. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is you have the power of God on the inside of you. That power flows outside, inside, outside, and it empowers you to live for God. It strengthens you. Now listen to it. The word strengthen means to empower. Now he says he wants to empower or strengthen you with might. Now you're going to love this word. The word might there in the original language is the word dunamis. Dunamis, it's a Greek word, and we get the modern English word dynamite. Do you hear it? Dunamis, dynamite. It's the root word. Dunamis, dynamite. Now listen to what it means. You're going to love this. Of course, what does dynamite do? Well, it blows up, right? So it means explosive power. It also means to enable, to empower, and to strengthen. Now, listen to it. Listen to what it says. This is going on in your life right now. It says that God wants to strengthen you. He wants to empower you with explosive dynamite power through His Spirit on the inside of you in your inner man. Now, can I just say one more time? God has provided you with a resource of strength, a resource of power, a resource of hope, a resource of healing, and you take it with you everywhere you go because it dwells on the inside of you. It's God's desire to strengthen you with dunamis power in your inner man by His Spirit. So you can draw on that anytime you need it. Listen, if you're tired this morning, and I know a lot of you are busy, and I know you're tired. If you're tired this morning, there is a source of strength on the inside of you, and you just let it flow out, and you just let it flow into your body, and you be refreshed and encouraged this morning. Amen? Now, let me keep reading. Listen to what it says. It says that He wants to strengthen you by His Spirit. I love that. God's Spirit and my Spirit in my inner man. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and I'm going to give you a little explanation of your inner man. This will help you. Listen to what it says. It says, may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Now, I'm going to go back to this word sanctify in just a minute, but listen to the rest of the verse. That God would sanctify you completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want you to see. Isn't it interesting? Did you know that you're a three-part being? Yeah, did you know God's a three-part being? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you're a three-part being. You are a spirit. That's the eternal part of you. You are a spirit. You have a soul. What's your soul? Well, your soul is your mind. It is your will, and it's your emotions. And you live in a body. Okay, basically, your body's your earth suit. Okay, you are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. That is right there, right straight out of Scripture. You're a three-part being. What did I just read to you? That God wants to empower you. He wants to let explosive power release on the inside of you. Where? In your spirit. And then I also believe it affects your mind and your will and your emotions. And then it can't help but affect your body. Amen? All right, now, to go back to the word sanctify. Listen to what it says. May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Now, let me explain. Now, I know that sounds like a religious word. I know. You think, oh, my gosh, what is that? Well, let me help you. It's really good. The word sanctify means to purify, to cleanse, or to make holy. Now, I know holy is a big word, too, and you think, oh, my gosh, what does that mean? Well, it's real simple. Let me help you. The word holy means to set apart. Okay. When I was a 12-year-old boy in my mother's house, sitting on her paisley green couch, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart to be my Savior. At that moment, God set me apart for His kingdom. He placed me as a son. The moment you receive Jesus as your Savior, the moment you invited Christ into your life, you were set apart. You were taken out of the world, out of darkness, out of the culture, and you were placed in the kingdom. What's the Bible call it? Born again. I was born into the kingdom of God. And at that moment, I was made holy. Listen, holy's not action. Holy is a position. Are you with me? Holy means to set apart. So when I invited Jesus into my life, I stepped out of darkness, so did you, and you stepped into light, and Jesus began this process in you to do what? To sanctify you, to purify you, to cleanse you, and to set you apart and make you holy. Now listen, you don't do it. God does it. Now, I've got to go to another verse to help you understand. And this verse is so good. I'm going to go to Ephesians 5:25, New King James. Ephesians 5:25, New King James. Listen to what this says. Husbands, we have any husbands in the house? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, I'm not preaching on marriage this morning, but I can't pass this up. Listen to what this says. It says, husbands, you're supposed to love your wife. How are you supposed to love your wife? Well, you're supposed to love her the same way Jesus loves the church. How did Jesus love the church? With a sacrificial, serving love. What'd Jesus say? He said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. That's the Jesus kind of love. Let me say it again. I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Do you know what kind of leader you're supposed to be in your home, gentlemen? A servant leader, a giving leader, a sacrificial leader. The scripture says, gentlemen, you're supposed to love your wife the same way Jesus loves the church. Now, listen to the next part of that verse. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her. Now, we're talking about Jesus in the church. Her is the church. Jesus wants to sanctify. If he's talking about the church, who's he talking about? Us, yeah. Us. You're the church. You know that, right? You're the church. So he's talking about us. Listen to what it says. It says that he would sanctify and cleanse us with the washing of water by the word. Now, there's the word sanctify again. What does it mean? It means to purify and to cleanse. Now, here's the good news. This morning, when I got out of bed, I went and got my coffee, went and got in my chair, and I got my Bible, and I read some Bible verses. And as I did that, you know what was happening? I was being cleansed. I was being washed by the water of the word. Every time you read your Bible, every time you hear the word of God, every time you say the word of God, it's washing you. It's restoring you. It's refreshing you. It's purifying you. It's empowering you. To do what? To be sanctified. Now, what in the world does it mean to be sanctified? Listen, it means as you and I are on this journey of knowing Jesus as our Savior, and when I invited Christ into my life and I was transferred into the kingdom of light, then what am I supposed to do? Well, I'm supposed to grow. I'm supposed to walk away from darkness. I'm supposed to walk away from sin, and I'm supposed to be walking toward the light. And I get closer, and I get closer, and I get closer. And you know what's going to happen? Well, I'm going to wake up in heaven. That's what happened to Enoch in the Old Testament. He just got closer and closer and closer, and he got so close that the Lord said, hey, you want to go to your house or mine? And Enoch said, well, I think I'll just go to yours. So he went home. That's what sanctification is. See, you're changing. You're growing. Listen, do you know what lukewarmness is? All lukewarmness is you stop changing. You stop growing. Listen, all living things grow. When something stops growing, it dies. So how can you tell if you're growing? Are you still walking toward the light? Are you still on your journey? Do you see yourself changing? Do you see things that used to be hard on you falling off of you? The things you struggled with, you don't quite struggle with them like you used to before. And that's what sanctification is. It's a supernatural work of the Spirit. Every time you read the Bible, every time you come to church, every time you worship God, you're on this journey. What does the Bible say in James? That if I'll take a step toward God, what is he do? He takes a step toward me. As you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And so you know what's happening. I'm growing. You're growing. You see, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to grow and produce fruit. Gentlemen, you're supposed to be a better husband this time next year than you were this year. Right? Ladies, you're supposed to be better wives, better mothers. We're supposed to be stronger and better believers. How does it happen? Well, it happens one day at a time, one step at a time, one scripture at a time, one church service at a time. And I'm being what? I'm being sanctified, and I'm being changed. And I'm not doing it See, it's not about me, right? I'm going to bear down. It doesn't work. No, right? Right? Have you ever seen an apple tree strain trying to make apples? No, you've never seen an apple tree. No, right, right. All right, you got in the backyard and you got an apple tree. Oh, ooh, what are you doing? I'm trying to make apples. No. Corn stalks don't strain making corn, right? It happens. It's nature. It happens. God's plan is on it. It's the same way with you. You just walk this out every day, and you walk toward the light, and you walk away from darkness, and you're growing, you're maturing, and you're changing, and God is doing the work in you. Let me go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I got a couple more things I want to say, and I'm doing good on time. All right, y'all with me? All right, let me keep reading. Listen to what this says. It says, God wants to strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith, and that you would be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. What does the Scripture say? That the world will know us by our love. Not our knowledge. No, by our love. That you and I would be rooted and grounded in love. We would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God, and that we would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and we'd be filled with the fullness of God. Now, just a few moments that I have left, I want you to understand this. Here's what it says. It says that you would know the length, the depth, the height, and the breadth of the love of God. You would know you're loved. You would know the length, the depth, the height, and the breadth of the love of God that passes knowledge. What does that mean? It's not in your head, it's in your heart. Do you know how you're going to get to heaven? You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. Amen? You don't believe in your head. Now, I believe it in my head, but you don't get saved believing it in your head. You believe it in your heart. If you only believe something in your head, it's called mental assent, and you're not born again. How did I get born again? I believed in my heart, and I confessed with my mouth. You see, that's how I got married, right? Isn't that how I got married? I stood right up there next to my little bride, and the guy that married us said, do you love her? And I said, with all my heart, and I want to be with her forever. And we went through a ceremony, and that's how we got married. Listen, it's your heart. It says that you would know the love of God, not in your head, but in your heart, and that it would be beyond knowledge. Now, what does that mean? That means you'd have a revelation of it, an understanding of it, an experience of it. Are you with me? What's love? Love is a verb. Love is action. Correct? I can tell you I love you all day long, but if I don't do anything, it's kind of shaky, right? You know, my wife's love language is acts of service. Yeah. Yeah. All you guys that your wife wants flowers and candy, I hate you. I hate you. I mean, how easy would it be if I could get a phone and call flowers.com and candies.com and all that's taken care of in an instant? No, no. You know what my wife wants? She wants me to run the vacuum. She wants me. Who said amen? Who said amen? Yeah, her love language is acts of service. When my wife knows she loved, I'm doing something. I'm vacuuming. I'm making the bed. I maybe am cleaning the toilet or something, right? That's what her definition of love is. All right, listen. You don't just say you love. You show you love. God wants you to understand that He loves you, and here's what will happen when you do. It says that you'll be filled with the fullness of God. Now, don't miss this. When you understand the love of God in your heart, when you understand you're loved, when you understand that nails didn't hold your Savior on the cross, love did, When you understand your Savior did that for you, when you understand He knows you and He loves you, and it doesn't matter who else does or doesn't love me, He loves me. When you understand that in your heart, the byproduct is you're filled with the fullness of God. You're filled with the fullness of God. And I don't know about you, but that changes everything, doesn't it? Yeah, it absolutely changes everything. I don't know a person who doesn't want more of God in their life. My mother would always say, I want to be closer to God. Well, one of the ways to get closer to God is understand His love for you. And when you do, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. And it'll affect you as a wife, as a mother, as a father, as a son, as a husband, as an employee, as an employer. It affects every area of your life because you're filled with the fullness of God. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to empower you. God wants to refresh you on the inside. He wants to fill you with His love, and He wants to fill you with Himself, and that causes you to walk that road of sanctification, and it makes you better, brighter, filled with more life, filled with more love, and it changes you forever. Amen? All right, bow your head and let me pray for you. Father God, I love You, and I know that You love us. Father, my prayer for my brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of believers here at Tulia Christian Fellowship, is that we'd be filled with the fullness of Your presence because we know we're loved. Father, strengthen us, refresh us, encourage us. As we go from this place, God, Your hand is on us in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for Your love. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Would y'all stand?